And so we'll come to read this psalm together now, Psalm 56, and let us hear the word of God. To the chief musician upon Jonath Elim Rekokim, Michtam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape my iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. Amen. In the reading there, and, verse 13 on the other page. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Amen. May the Lord write that upon our hearts. Bow with me briefly and ask for the Lord's help. Our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this Lord's Day afternoon, thanking You for Your Word. Even as the psalmist has said, I will praise God in His Word. Lord, for Thy Word. We are grateful that the psalmist had an anchor for the soul, had an anchor to cast in the day of fear, in the day of being afraid. He is able to say, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Lord, we pray, write this upon our minds and our hearts. We pray, Lord, inscribe it upon our souls today. Renew our minds by Your Word. Fill me with Thy Spirit. Give us help in this afternoon, Lord. We pray that You'll give us all aid from Thy Holy Spirit to focus and to be, as it were, knowing that we are hearing from God and not just hearing the words of a man. Speak to us, O Lord, with a word in season. May it be as apples of gold and pictures of silver to each and every one of us. Hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 3 is our focus this afternoon. David prays, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. The whole psalm is obviously important for the context, but even just verse 3 gives us a great truth to hang our hearts upon this morning. Fear is a part of living in a fallen world. Fear is a part of living in a fallen world. The word that occurs here in our text first appears in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. The first time we find it in the Bible, it occurs there, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And it goes on, of course, to verse 10, where Adam is questioned by God in verse 9, and then in verse 10 he says, I was afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself. I was afraid. That's the first time the word occurs in the Scriptures, the word that is used here of David in Psalm 56. So fear is a part of living in a fallen world. That was the entrance of fear. The first time we have any record of anyone being afraid. And it was when sin entered the world. And the first occasion we have of fear is Adam and Eve being afraid of God because of sin. Well, it is a part of living in a fallen world, and there are a lot of things to fear today. I know that you don't have to look far to find reasons to be afraid. Just a couple of things to point out in that regard. Today, just from an economic standpoint, you look at our nation, and many project that we are well on our way to a Great Depression. Not only a recession, but a Great Depression. And you survey the economists and how they evaluate everything, you know that our debt just keeps going and going and going and going and never ending. And anyone can look at that and see that at some point it's all going to crash unless something incredible and beyond human comprehension can take place. That's where we're headed. That's just one area. One area where we find reasons whereby people are afraid. You think of the things we were thinking of this morning. The direction the church is headed. The decisions that are being made by those in office in our nation. And you survey all of that and you find that it is very easy to start becoming afraid. Maybe we ask questions. Of course, we know the Bible has the answers, and of course, we know God is sovereign, but none of us are beyond the temptation of fear. And we start to say, well, what is going to happen to my children? What's going to happen if there's a depression? They're not going to make it like the ones before. The generation that faced the depression before was much more able to endure hardship than us today. People get bent out of shape if our AC goes out. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen to our country? We're going in this direction and doesn't seem to be stopping. There's a lot of things that cause us to be afraid. We live also in a culture that seeks to promote fear. It's not just that there are a lot of things that we see today that make us afraid, but we live in a culture of fear. We live in a place where you are constantly bombarded with this news source and this media source, and did you know this was happening? And did you know this was happening? And did you know this happened? And then you have the conspiracy theories and all those who get up in arms and they say, well, this happened because they're doing this. And all the while, it creates a culture of fear. That's what we have. A culture of fear must be combated by a concentrated faith. A culture of fear must be combated, must be fought by a concentrated faith. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. So for a few moments this afternoon, let us consider biblically responding to fear. Biblically responding to fear. Because you're going to be afraid. Let's face it. None of us here are ever going to be able to say there's a time where we are perfectly free from fear until glory. Oh, that'll be the day. So we need to know how to respond. You need to know how to respond. I need to know how to respond rightly to this emotion, to this fear. Well, let's consider first then, as we think about biblically responding to fear, the reasons for fear. What are the reasons for fear? David says, what time I am afraid. And what time, we have this as an example of really any time. David uses a word that is able to be used in this way regarding basically whatever the occasion, whatever the circumstances, whatever time it is that I am afraid, whatever's causing me to be afraid, then I will trust in Thee. So whenever it is. And so whatever the reasons may be, there's a true biblical response, no matter the reasons. but the reasons for fear. Well, without going down an endless list of reasons, let's just think about it from the perspective of why we experience fear. I've already said the fall of man is the reason for fear. That's where it comes from. The fall of man is the reason for fear. It is a natural response to fallen man to be afraid. Before the fall, there was no reason to fear. You didn't even need to be afraid of an animal. Because, as we know, it will be in the new heavens and the new earth, the lion will lie down with the lamb. There won't be any hostility. There won't be any violence. There won't be any attacks or hostility of any kind. And so there was no need for fear before the fall. But the fall of man is the reason for fear. And I do want to return to that just for a moment as we think about the reasons for fear in Genesis chapter 3. Adam said that I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Okay, so Adam and Eve have sinned. They have fallen. They have eaten of the forbidden fruit. They've broken God's covenant with them. And they have fallen. And the first thing that we are told in the Bible about fear is that it really, at its root, at least as far as coming from the fall of man, has at its very beginning point doubt about God. It's a recognition of dependence. It's a recognition that I have done something offensive to God. I am in danger. And Adam is then afraid. I am afraid. I was afraid of you, Lord. And so he hides himself. And that is the case with man today, with fallen man. Men try to hide themselves from God. And it's because they're afraid of God. It's because they are fearful of the one true and living God who calls them to account for sin. But David's a believer. So why is David afraid? Why does David have the capacity for fear? David, at this time in his life, is not living in sin. He has not committed any transgressions against the Lord like he does later on in his life with Bathsheba. So why is he at this time afraid? What is he afraid of? Well, he's obviously afraid of his enemies. He starts out the psalm that way. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. You note that image there. It's this idea of devouring. It's this idea of being consumed by your enemies. And of course, David had physical enemies, we know. And surely part of this is referencing them, but every believer has an arch enemy. And it's the devil, who roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so David is afraid. Man would swallow me up. The devil would swallow up God's people too if he gets his chance. And that's the reality. And these are reasons for fear. Because as you and I think about the devil, we're caused to contemplate the reality that I'm no match for him. On my best day, I'm no match for the devil. I am completely, utterly dependent upon God. The reasons for fear. So we see that as part of it, the fall of man and even that capacity. But it often has mingled with it, fear, being afraid, often has at least a partial component of it, often unbelief or misbelief. Unbelief is denying or not believing something that's true. Misbelief is believing something that's not true. Right? So, for instance, if I was to say that, well, God's not sovereign, that's unbelief and misbelief. Because it's stating something that's true, saying something that's true that's not true, as well as not believing something that is true. And these are often related to fear. Because David, as he begins the psalm, there's this sense of, I'm going to be devoured. I'm going to be swallowed up. I'm going to be defeated. And yet he comes to this resolution, this understanding But no, God has promised to keep and preserve me. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. David recognizes a truth that even though, let's just say, even though I was devoured by mine enemies, which at this point David knows he can't be because he's been promised the throne, he's been promised the kingdom, he's been promised to be placed as the king of Israel. He knows that he can't be consumed. But even if it did take place, we might say, in David's mind here as he's writing, the worst they can do is send me to glory. That's the worst thing that this world can do to the Christian, is send them to glory. They have no ability but to kill the body. But the reasons for fear. This is some of David's context as he's writing, in the fear of his enemies, but overcoming that. But the reasons for fear. Why does fear exist as an emotion? Have you ever asked that question? Why do you possess the ability to fear? Why is that an emotional response that you have? Because it is. It's not only a mental perception, it is an emotional response to fear. Well, I think we can say that part of the reason that man, as a part of the fall, and how that changed man's nature within the sovereignty of God, of course. God was not out of control of what would happen after the fall. The reason man has the emotion of fear is a common grace from God. Fear is a part of God's common grace to all fallen people. And I want to tell you why. If you think about it, to be afraid, to fear, is designed to make you feel your need of someone greater and more powerful than you. It's designed to make you feel your need for God. You think of a child. A child is a great example, because what do you see in a child? Sometimes you see a very easy fear. Not all children. Sometimes we wish they were a little more afraid sometimes. You think like, yes, I wish you wouldn't think to go do that without your parents. But most children tend to have a certain high level of fear. And it's a good thing, because often that fear causes them to run away from something that might harm them and run to their parent. And that is the point. It's a common grace. And for the believer especially, fear, the capacity of being afraid, and why we still have that even after we're saved, is to keep you close to God. If you never experienced being afraid, you wouldn't feel the need to run to your Father and cry out for help. Lord, help me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. This is the reasons for fear. It's a part of the fall of man. It is a part of the curse. One day we will have no fear. Perfect love will perfectly cast out all fear. And we will not be afraid. There will be perfect peace. But in this life, it is a part of God's common grace that all men, to some degree, fear, and that even believers can be afraid, to drive us to our Heavenly Father. But the reality of fear, not only the reasons for fear, the reality of fear. One thing that I think we need to make sure we take note of here is that David does not deny that he was afraid. Sometimes we get that mindset that I can never admit I'm afraid. David doesn't do that here. David says, "What time I am afraid, He doesn't deny it. He doesn't lie and say, well, I'm not afraid. God's given me the spirit of boldness and I'm not afraid. He doesn't do that. He resolves not to fear. He says, I'm going to do my utmost to not fear and to trust God, but he never denies that there are times, there are occasions, and this was one of them, where he truly experienced fear. Fear is a very real experience then, for all of us here. And there's no point in simply pretending that it's not. Sometimes we look at a child again and we think, why are you afraid of that? There's no reason for you to be afraid. That seems like an odd thing to be afraid of. There's nothing in your room that's going to get you. But they're afraid. And telling them that they shouldn't be doesn't really do away with the reality that they're afraid. And it's the same for the believer, the adult believer. It's a reality. It's a reality for David, it's a reality for a child, and it's a reality for you. At some point, possibly this week, you're going to be afraid. And you know that, and I know that. And God knows that. And it's okay. God knows that fear is a reality. But there is a way to deal with it. A way to respond to it that is biblical, and there's a way to respond to it that is unbiblical. And the reality of fear presents dangers, doesn't it? Because fear can be used by the enemy as well. Fear can often lead to fret and despair. You think of the psalmist in Psalm 37. What does he do? David writing, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. In other words, there's again a picture of resolving not to be in fear. And here you see the connection between fear and anxiety, though they are distinct. Being afraid is not the same as being anxious. There's a distinction there, however subtle it may be. But you see there, again, this reality of like, don't just get consumed and carried away with fear about what the wicked are doing. Though it may grieve us, you have to check that fear with a resolve to trust, because the same emphasis is there in Psalm 37. And fear can lead to irrational decisions, can't it? We saw that not so long ago in our country, a few years ago now, where fear was used to get people to do things that were quite irrational in regards to COVID and all kind of other things. And I'm not going to get into all those details, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. Fear was used to get people to do things that were just ludicrous. It didn't make any difference. Things didn't change whether you did or not, but if you didn't do it, then you would be looked at as suspect. And it was used to control our society. And that's just one example of fear leading to irrational decisions. It's the same in various other situations. David could have done that. David could have irrationally responded to this fear. And he could have despaired, and he could have given up, and he could have just said, well, this is it, I'm done. But he doesn't do that. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. This is something we always have to be careful with. I made reference to conspiracy theories at the beginning. And, you know, some people say that, you know, there is some truth in every conspiracy theory, and that's probably true. My point, I always try to remember with conspiracy theories, is what is the point? And how does this change the way I'm supposed to live right now? Well, they didn't land on the moon. Well, what does that have to do with you right now where you are? So what? And of course, they get more elaborate. But the thing you have to watch there, and this is why I bring it up, what time I am afraid, is because often that is how people will get you to make bad decisions in terms of even cult leaders. Often a sign of cults is they use fear. It gets you to be afraid of what's going to happen. And they get you to be afraid of what's going on in the earth. And they say, we have the answer. Come follow us. And it's the same way in government. Man knows how to use fear to control people. And so knowing how to rightly respond to fear is of the utmost importance. And before we leave this point, the thing we need to recognize as it relates to fear and the reality of fear, in many ways, you are what you watch, read, listen to, and talk about. In many ways, you are what you watch, read, listen to, and talk about. And that, by that, I am meaning that you will be prone to fear and prone to be afraid if you allow yourself to be consumed and constantly thinking upon what Fox News is saying, or MSNBC, or whoever else it is that's putting forth their news. We live in a society that is full of fear-mongering. The TV shows, the books, the YouTube videos, pretty much all of it has at least one aspect of it in terms of the news sources that is geared to get a response from you that usually taps in to your fear. And so I say, you, in many ways, you are what you watch, read, listen to, and talk about. If all you do is focus upon these things, the politics, and all the conspiracy ideas, all the attempts to try and destroy the nation, then you will be afraid more often. In a culture of fear, rather you must cultivate faith. You must cultivate faith in a culture of fear so that when those things do come into your life, when they do come into your view, when you see the news anchor talking about what's going on, or when you see the YouTube video or whatever it is that's talking about this great thing that's going on in the government, or this conspiracy theory with whatever else may be going on, you have cultivated faith in such a way that you can rightly respond to that information. Not just ignore the things that are going on, but rightly respond to it in faith. Cultivating faith by remembering, in God I will praise His Word. I mean, that's where David goes. That's the next thing he says, I will trust in Thee. Well, why? His Word. His Word. And then verse 9, when I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. You know, the simplicity of David's approach here to dealing with his fear. And when he says, when I am afraid, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. He deals with that trust matter, building up that trust, that confidence in the Lord by constantly focusing, cultivating his faith in God's Word and through prayer. And in some ways, it's really that simple. David has and must be constantly cultivating his faith. David lived a life that I really don't think we can even really begin to enter into how many times this would have been true for him. How many times, what did he say to Jonathan regarding Saul's attempts to kill him? There is but a step between me and death. And yet, David is saying, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So what's the right response then? The right response to fear. For a Christian, every occasion for fear is a call to trust. So this week, you have a time where you're afraid. You can first start by interpreting that as a call to trust. If you're experiencing fear, it's a call to trust. And don't respond by lying to yourself and trying to deny that you're afraid. No, own it. Lord, I'm afraid. Help me to trust in Thee. That's the right response. To rely upon Him. To cast yourself upon Him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Every occasion for fear is a call to trust. And the Christian, the believer, is called to walk by what he knows, not by what he sees. We walk by faith, not by sight. So what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Well, if I'm afraid and I'm fearful about what's going on or what's going to happen or where I am, I must remember God is for me. God has placed vows upon me. I'm in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. If indeed you are here and a believer, then you know that to be true. And that forms that foundation of trust. I actually cannot face anything worse than death. And that will be my entrance to glory. Called to walk by what we know, not by what we see. And even David here, we have to see that he is, to some degree, not only considering God's word in all the general promises that David had, but even just God's sovereignty in particular. And rightly considering God's sovereignty will help you subdue fear. Because it's the reality that I can actually experience nothing. I can experience nothing. As hard as that may be to understand, I can experience nothing that God will not see me through. Jesus said, "Fear not them which destroy the body and can do nothing more after that." Matthew 10:28. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In other words, all they can do is kill the body. Now, they may do it in a very horrible way. I mean, you think upon fear as it relates to witnessing for Christ. There may be a time, this week there may be a time, where the Lord brings someone across your path and you're just thinking, there's no way that God would have me witness to them. And especially, they're kind of scary sometimes. People can be. And they look intimidated. What are they going to say? What are they going to say to me if I share this with them? Preach the gospel to every creature. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. If God's given us that command, then He knew all about the scary people in the earth that we would be called to preach to. The right response to fear. Well, how far does this go? All occasions for fear? I believe we can say so. How afraid Moses could have been, probably was, when he and Aaron went before Pharaoh. Most powerful man in all the world at that time. Moses is 80 years old. Aaron's 84, I believe. And God tells these two old men, go before the most powerful man in all the world and tell him, let my people go. I'm sure there was a measure of fear. But they went. I don't know if you ever heard the story of Margaret Wilson, Scottish Covenanter. She was a teenager. And she was put to death for the faith. She was told that she had to say that King James VII of Scotland and the II of England was the head of the church. She refused to do it. She would not call any other head of the church but Jesus Christ. She had covenanted to do that. She was part of the band of people that covenanted in that regard. And Margaret Wilson, as a teenager, was taken and was strapped, chained to a pole in the sea and left there as the waves came in until eventually they washed over her head and she drowned to death. She did that as a teenager. Do you think she was afraid? I would imagine so. And yet God must have given her great peace during great pain. Because the witnesses there recorded that the entire time until the waves washed over her head and she drowned, she sang Psalms and quoted verses from the Psalms and the Epistles until she died for the Lord. Margaret Wilson. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. If you're ever called to do that, may God give us grace. We would trust Him, who is the only head and King of the church. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. David put his trust in the Lord. David put his confidence in God. And whatever happened, he resolved, I will praise His word. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. And you say, well, what if I'm not quick enough to run into that tower when I'm afraid? Well, you run into that tower by faith. And faith outruns the devil. Faith outruns your enemies. God gives the grace to run into the name of the Lord. And know that Jehovah keeps Israel and neither slumbers nor sleeps. That He is God. May each believer respond in faith to all the fightings, all the turmoils, all the temptations, to give in to fear, to give way to fear. You know, the devil wants you to despair. The devil wants you to give way to fear. But let each of us here resolve, what time I am afraid, whenever I feel fear, whenever I sense that I'm afraid, I will recognize it, I will confess to the Lord, and ask, Lord, help me to trust. May the Lord help us. Write His word upon our hearts for Christ's sake. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the word of God. We thank You that it deals even with the emotions of man. And Lord, we're grateful that You've not left us in the dark as to how to deal with our emotions, how to respond to the things that we face in this life. And we pray, Lord, for help for every believer here to know a true, a lasting, a constant resolve to trust in Thee, not in our own strength, not in our own might, but in He who is the Sovereign of the universe, the King of heaven, O Lord. Even in those moments where we are before men and we are afraid, like Nehemiah, Lord, help us to resolve to pray to the God of heaven. Even that silent prayer of faith, that arrow to heaven, that you are pleased to answer. Lord, help us. We know that, Lord, we're surrounded by unbelievers who are afraid. And we know there's no true solution for their fear apart from Christ. And so we pray even this week, Lord, we'd be given the opportunity to give testimony to the grace of God in overcoming fear by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh God, even being reconciled to Thee so that perfect love casteth out fear. And there's no longer a fear of Thee as a wrathful God, for Thy wrath is appeased, but a reverence for our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we are grateful for that. And we pray then that You would depart us with Thy blessing today. Thank You for gathering with us. Thank You for blessing us through Thy Word. Please, Lord, continue to meet with us. Even as we go to our homes, help us to engage in even in private prayer and various other things, Lord, that we can do to worship Thee. Hear us, Lord. In Jesus' name.